Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
Some in the church teach or preach the prosperity message of give 1,000 and you'll receive 10,000. And the preacher gets richer many times is what takes place. You know, listen, I do believe God blesses those that give. I honestly believe that. But I don't believe it ought to be something that is preached as a tool of gaining money. I believe God blesses in many different ways because I have been blessed in my life. But 2 Corinthians, I want to remind you of this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12 says, "For if there is first a willing mind, is it accepted? It is accepted according to what one has." Talking about giving. If first there's a willing mind, and then it is accepted according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. And oftentimes you'll find when it's a prosperity message that many will say, "Go put it on your credit card." I disagree with that. The Bible never teaches you to give something that you do not have. I believe the Scripture speaks of the fact it comes out of what God's already given you. And I believe many people have been shipwrecked by doing that because it's really something that they should not have done. I get faith promises and I also understand pledges. But faith promises, if you really know the definition up, you're saying that I'm praying that God gives me the money to be able to fulfill that promise. It's not a pledge, but I'm going to say God's going to help me throughout the year. That's what a faith promise is. That doesn't mean you pledged it to that. So when someone sends you a bill in the mail for a faith promise, they misrepresented what they spoke about, just for your word or understanding. Others come to church for what they can get out of the church. What they can get for themselves, or perhaps what they can get for their kids. In other words, how can the church bless my family? We find it all the time. That's why you look at churches that got gymnasiums, and you got churches that have got workout centers, and you got churches that have all these other things going on, is because they found out that if you can bless people physically, or you can bless them in what they can do, you'll get crowds. Come to this church and we'll give you a gym membership or whatever it may be. And some people pick that. Other people pick a church on how it can bless their business. I've known of someone that told me before that I go to this church not necessarily because I like it, but because there's a lot of new clients I can get. I'm just being honest with you this morning why some come to church. And some come to a church so that they can receive a blessing. We hear a lot of preaching on being blessed by God, and we are the seed of Abraham. I have no doubt that we are the seed of Abraham, those that believed. It was in our Sunday school lesson this morning that spoke of that. We also know Numbers 6, 24 and 26 says, "The Lord bless you." And we hear this, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." That's speaking of blessing. And I understand that. And I see that. A lot of times we do things out of this attitude. What is in it for me? What is in it for me? If I do this thing, what am I getting in return? And listen, if I can be the type of preacher that could tell you that if you do this thing, you're going to get more in return, maybe I could really get a few more people. But I'm going to tell you that is not my position to say. Amen? And I'm going to tell you it's been used that way over the years because everybody wants a blessing. Amen? Everybody, many times we want to know that. That's the society that we live in. But this morning I want to speak about blessing, but not us being blessed, but us being a blessing to others. about us being a blessing to somebody else in our lives, about us being a blessing to somebody that perhaps we don't even know, about being a blessing to someone that we cross or go run into during the day, blessing to somebody else in your own church body. I want to speak about being a blessing this morning. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. All the scriptures I'm using this morning are on the app, if you go to that. Listen, this is the insight to, we're looking into the church of Acts. This is an early church, and it's a baby church. But listen to some of this description as I read Acts 4, 32 through 37. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. One heart, one soul, unity. Neither did anyone say that any of these things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostle gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was about them. Grace was great favor from God. Was about them. Why? Because God seen what they were doing and he liked it. And that grace, that influence into their life. Can I tell you, God looks upon you and his grace can be all over you. Amen. He can shine his face on you. I believe that with all my heart. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things they sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed it to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for the next 30 minutes, I pray, God, that you'll just touch our hearts. Lord, stir our hearts this morning with your word. God, I just pray that you would help us to look outside ourselves this morning and become who you would want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you read carefully, you will notice that the thought of being a blessing to others, or the thought of being a blessing, is threaded throughout this text that we just read. It's threaded throughout the text of blessing one another. We find one individual in the text that stands out, though. He's mentioned by his name. His given name is Joseph. But the disciples renamed him Barnabas. The name, as the scripture that I used this morning says, son of encouragement. But also, the other meaning for that name is son of consolation. Simeon, may I remind you, when Jesus was presented on the temple steps going up, that Simeon said, the consolation of Israel. The word is exactly the same thing. Consolation. So Barnabas is called this. Listen, the acts of encouraging or consoling of Barnabas were a blessing to many in his life. If you study Barnabas' lives, so much so that Barnabas was called in Acts chapter 11, verse 24, when he was in Antioch, he was called a good man. Can I tell you something? Reputation and character do matter. And Barnabas had a character and reputation that brought him forth another name called a good man. Well, this morning, let me ask you, and I'll give you the answer. It says, what does it mean to be a blessing? I want you to think about this just for a moment. To be a blessing means acting as a conduit of positive impact, using your resources, time, or kindness to enrich others' lives. To be a blessing. Let me read that again. To be a conduit of positive impact on somebody's life, using your resources, time, or kindness to enrich others' lives. To be a blessing to somebody. I want to just look for the next few minutes into Barnabas' life and reveal some things that I noticed about him and that would cause him to be what I would call a blessing. Because the acts that he was encouraging and all this was truly showing that he was blessing many in his life. The first thing, if we want to be a blessing to somebody, if I want to be a blessing to someone, I need to be a blessing, one must become a giver. I must tell you this morning, I cannot be a blessing to anybody if I can't give. It's critical. If I'm going to be a blessing, notice I said one must become a blessing. Or one must become a giver. This is not something that happens overnight. I've told y'all before, when my pastor baptized me, he told me he was going to hold me down until my wallet came up. And I already had it ready? No. And I'm not talking about money. Don't get out of sorts with me this morning. You very seldom. I'll preach occasionally on tithing and different things like that. But I'm a believer that one needs to be a giver. And if I'm going to bless somebody, I got to have a giving heart. I got to have a giving heart. As we read in our text this morning, there was none in need. You find that if you go back and read the text I started with, everybody in the church, need was met. Barnabas was part of that meeting the need. He gave of his monetary things to be a blessing to others. I'm going to tell you this morning, because it said this, and he laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had a need. Barnabas laid it at the feet of the apostles, who were the leaders of the church at that moment. And throughout that passage of Scripture, you'll find that needs were being met in the church body. Can I tell you there's a difference between needs and want? And there's a difference when we learn, because how many have ever been scammed by somebody? And you know, I found out a long time ago that listen to what they're saying. Because listen, there's people that come by this church every week that have a need. But the need is really not what they're getting or what they want money for. Our policy is not to give cash. I've broken it several times. But I'm going to tell you today that when it talks about need, every church body has a need. Every one of us goes through times. I may not need something this week, but I may need something next week. Have you figured out that life changes hourly? One phone call can change everything about your life. I'm just saying today, you may not have had a need last week. And brother and sister so-and-so may not have had a need, but something took place that now they are in need. And this scripture speaks of, you will say, Pastor, they sold everything they had and gave it to the church. That's not my preaching this morning. We live in a different culture and a different time, but the ideal is to be sharing what we have. Be sharing what we have. Barnabas was a giver. He met the church's needs, and he also, through his giving, met the needs of others. Did you know that every dime this church has comes from you? It's given by you. And there's a lot of people that don't understand that. I have people, regulars, that come by and they act as if the government is funding us every week. And I'm saying, we don't have that kind of money. I had one ask me, hey, could you pay for my mother's counseling for the next 6 months? And I said, I don't have that kind of money. That's why we give as we have, right? But here's the deal. There was a need here in the church, and it was met. And it met everybody. It met the leader's need. It met the church's need. And it also met those that were in need. We have what we call a benevolence fund to help those out in a time of need. And people give into that. I had a man give me $1,000. And he says, I want you to keep this, Pastor. And when people in the congregation have a need of something, I want you to give some of that money out. I'm going to tell you, over the span of 10 or 12 years, I bet he gave me $10,000. And he says, I want you to have the discretion of who you give it to. But I also made sure that when I gave it to them, I made sure they knew that it was not my hand. But he said, don't tell them who it is. What was his deal? He had become a giver in God's body. He'd become a giver and learn. He wanted to bless people. And I'll tell you, there was young couples needed help. There was people that was going through a tough time. Some needed groceries. It was just unlimited of what I could do with that money. Why? Because he had become a giver. It's first thing, if we're going to bless, we must be a giver. Listen, Proverbs 22:9 says this. He that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Now, I don't want to hinge on the fact that he will be blessed, but I want to hinge on the fact that it says a bountiful eye. What does that mean? Can I tell you what a bountiful eye might be? An eye that pays attention. Maybe sees someone going through a difficult time. Maybe you hear it on a phone call. Maybe you hear it in the news. Hey, so-and-so's having a difficult time. A bountiful eye. Paying attention. Every morning when I come here to work, I go by the Family Life Center and make sure the water's not running because a lot of people leave it running. I go by and check that out. I do a perimeter check around the building to see what happened last night. I find things charging on the phone. I got a little TV set the other day that someone's left for 3 days. 3 days and it's gone. I'll pick it up. But I'm saying I'm paying attention. If we want to be a giver, we've got to learn to pay attention. And not only pay attention, but also think, oh my word, I can spare a little bit to be a blessing. Hear what I'm saying? That I can spare. You know what that makes me? My life isn't all about me. Amen? To be a giver, to have a bountiful eye and watch and see what is going on. If we want to be a blessing, we have to pay attention. I'm not talking in a gossip way. I'm not talking in a meddling way. I'm not talking about being in everybody's business. Just pay attention. Amen? Pay attention. Listen, although these verses do not reflect it, but Barnabas gave of his time. Barnabas was a blessing in his time. You'll find him taking time being a blessing to others in the book of Acts. Throughout the book, he had been said that, you know, one of the things that's been said about time is our most precious commodity. But can I tell you this morning, that doesn't mean I'm supposed to hoard it all in. Our time should be a blessing to others. I get it. There's just so much time in the day, even so much more when you have kids. How many of you remember when you have kids? How many of you got kids know what I'm talking about? They consume a lot of time. And I'm going to tell you, I'll encourage you. They're going to consume more. I'm not going to encourage you this morning. But anyhow, they're going to keep on consuming your time. But, you know, time is just, you know, but sometimes we got to understand that sometimes if for me to not only be a giver, but we also give of our time, not only just my money, but sometimes we just need to give ourselves to be there. Because that's where I can be a blessing. I can't tell you how many times, such as yesterday, I'm at the office wrapping up my sermon because I ran out of time. Now, some of that might have been my fault. Some of that might have been I chose to take the afternoon with my little granddaughter. But I'm going to tell you, it's nothing wrong with giving some of your time. Because if you're going to bless somebody, sometimes kids, all they want for you to bless them with is spending time with them. Spending time with them. Our time can be a blessing to other people. If we want to be a blessing to others, we have to learn to give of our time also. I know there's only 24 hours in a day, but let me tell you something. I have found out. Sometimes I think, well, I haven't got time for this or that. I've got a pastor friend I don't know what keeps him so busy. But very seldom do we get to do anything that he doesn't have to get up and leave. But at the same time, I'm thinking there's times that we say, I'm spending time here, and I need to spend time there and to be a giver of our time where our time is needed, because we can be a blessing to somebody. You know, giving of time might look a little bit like this. It may be a talent that you possess that somebody needs. You may be an electrician. You may be this or that, to be a blessing through the talent that God's given you. You know, we got some men in this church can do just about anything. I look at one right over here that's 85 that can do just about anything he wants. You know, they're all saying, you know, jack of trade or something like that, but a master of none. I disagree with that. Those guys know what they're doing in all of it. But sometimes our time may look at some kind of service that we can give. I've seen Stephanie work with a person that come by, and she's been in the financial realm for quite some time before she retired, and help him get some things lined out. What was that? That was a blessing to him. Matter of fact, I bumped into him at the convenience store on 6th Street the other day. He's coming back. Praise the Lord. That's what you meant to say. But I'm just saying, we don't realize when time means it may be something that we can do for that person. Time, it may be if you can run a lawnmower for a widow, or if you can weed eat, or if you can do this or something. Oh, Sister Liver had to put your hand down. She wanted a weed eater back there. But I'm just saying, that's how you can be a blessing, folks. It doesn't have to be money all the time. You can bless other ways to be a blessing. Barnabas helped in many different ways other than laying the money down at the feet of the apostles. He was a blessing. He was a mentor. He was a teacher. He was a blessing. See, to be a blessing, listen, it may be just somebody needs to hear some, or let this need to talk to someone that's not going to repeat everything you said. How many of you like someone like that? Just giving somebody an ear. And let somebody, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I got all these things just stirring up inside of me. I got to have somebody to talk to. Y'all pray for my wife. But we can give what we have. We can do that. We can be a blessing into somebody's life. Another thing I noticed about Barnabas is, to be a blessing, one must watch their words. To be a blessing, one must watch their words. Do you know Proverbs tells us in 18:21, chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And what I say, there's power in the words I proclaim. Barnabas's words were a blessing to Saul for the acceptance into the church. What he had to say opened the door up for him to be welcomed into the church body, welcomed among Peter and John and all of those. Why? Because Barnabas spoke the right words that would open the door for Barnabas, or for Saul's life. Saul had a bad reputation. Saul had persecuted the church. He'd seen many put to death and many whole families put into prison. But now he got saved on the road to Damascus. Well, I'm going to tell you, some people have to sit back and watch. Okay, did something really happen to them or not? Paul or Saul went into Jerusalem and they would not accept him. Who? Spiritual Peter. Spiritual John, the one that loves everybody, wrote all about love. What happened? Barnabas' words had to be spoken in order for Saul to be accepted. I'm going to tell you something about words this morning. You can help somebody out with what you say, or you can destroy their lives. You can talk behind their back, or you can talk for them. Words are a powerful thing. If you want to be a blessing for somebody, they may never know that you took up for them. They never know that you spoke good of them. You may have said something, oh, that does not sound like my brother Pat. What am I? I'm being a blessing for Brother Pat because I'm standing up for him. We got to, if I'm going to be a blessing to someone, I've got to watch the words. Now, we've all been in those moments where it's like this one person's being destroyed. I've been there. Sad to say, I probably participated once. Oh, don't look at me like that. But I was at a retreat one night, and the word was about a certain minister. And I said something in this effect: can we not just quit talking like this? Can we not just lift him up in prayer and let God do a work in his life? You know what happened at that very moment? Everybody quit talking, and we prayed. I'm going to say today our words have power to destroy a person, or they have power to lift a person up. Barnabas lifted Saul up. You find that in Acts chapter 9, verses 26, 27. See, Paul needed somebody to speak kindly of him. He needed somebody to speak where it would be a blessing to him. And that's exactly what Barnabas' words became, was a blessing unto Saul, because Saul now was received into the church body. He had already been received in heaven. He was already part of the family of God. How many know sometimes it takes the local church to a little while to come around? Amen? If we want to be a blessing, we must watch what we say. We can build a person up, or we can tear them down. We can lift their spirit, or we can let the air out of their spirit. The words that we have, we can be a blessing to that person. Barnabas, unlike Ananias, did not have instructions from God to be kind to Saul. Remember that? The Lord got a hold of Ananias and said, hey, go to Paul. He's on the street straight. I want him to know how much he's going to suffer for me. And Ananias says, I don't really want to go. That's pastor's interpretation of that scripture. But Barnabas didn't have that. You know what he had? He had Jesus in him. He was full of the Holy Ghost, and he was a good man, and he spoke things that would lift people up. He was a blessing. If you had a Barnabas in your life, you had a blessing in your life because of the words he would speak for you. He chose to speak words of life over Saul instead of the words of death. He didn't even bring up to Saul all the bad. My granddad Snyder used to say, if you haven't got anything good to say about a person, don't say anything at all. That would make for some very awkward silence in some places today. Facebook would have nothing to talk about. There are some dining room tables would have nothing to talk about. There are some homes that would have nothing to talk about if we quit talking bad about somebody and then started blessing somebody's life. Don't shout me down. How many times do we pass up a moment to be a blessing with our words? How many times? How about for the teenager that needs to hear, you're doing a good job? Or maybe just the teenagers in this church, I am so glad to see you. You may not realize it, but they long to hear from us older, y'all older folks, to know that they're recognized. I love cutting up with the Downs boys and the teenagers in this church. I tried to steal Braden's cup this morning because it looked like mine. I'm not sure if it isn't mine. I'm just saying, you know, we have an opportunity to be a blessing to young people instead of saying something like, oh, this young generation, they're just, I don't know about them. Why not lift them up a little bit? Why not encourage them a little bit? You say negative in somebody's life long enough, and that's who they will become. I am so glad to have young people in the, come on now, let's give it to the Lord. I am so glad to have young people in this church that we can have fun with. Did I enjoy playing kickball the other day? Well, kind of, but my body didn't. Took me 4 or 5 days to get over that. I'm just saying we have an opportunity to use this to bless somebody's life. How about for the young couple that do all they can to make it to church? I'm going to tell you, her brother and me live on different times. She's got what they call Snyder time. It's 15, 20, 30 minutes late, wherever they go. For her to be here on time for worship practice is a total miracle from God. The struggles of trying to get 4 kids ready for church. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Chuck got a real reality this last week of what it is to have kids in the house. It's different. Let's not forget what it was like. Maybe, oh, good words. We are so glad. I know it's been difficult for you to be here, but we are glad you are here. A word of blessing goes a long way. How about the worker in the nursery? Can I tell you this morning, we have one of the best nursery workers back there named Casey. I don't know. Not everybody has the gifting and calling to work in the nursery. If you want to try yours out, get with Becky. And she will help you out to get in the rotating list to see whether you got it or not for the nursery. But she, Casey's there every Sunday and every Wednesday night, and she just loves on those kids. Oh, we can bless her with our words. Be a blessing with what we say. I tell you, I'm not sure. You know, when I was little, I don't know, my mother was probably glad to get rid of me for a little while. How about the wife that needs to hear from her husband how great you're doing? Guys, don't just assume they know. Tell them once a year. Anniversary time's a great time. Or maybe the husband that needs to hear from his wife what a great job he's doing. Just to be a blessing with what we say. Or maybe the fast food waiter that didn't quite get it right on your order and say something, that's all right, I understand you're busy. See, our mouth and our words have a lot to do whether or not we'll be a blessing or we'll be a curse to those person. Whether we'll bring life or we'll bring death. Because what we find about Barnabas, he was a man of encouragement, consolation. He was one that would speak good things. And he was one that would speak up when he needed to for the right thing. Our days are full of opportunity to be a blessing to someone with our words. Amen? Been a great time for one. 3 minutes. To be a blessing, one must share Jesus. Acts 13, verses 2 and 3, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Separate me. Can I tell you, each one of us in this room have been separated by the Lord to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of us. Not one of us is exempt. Barnabas shared Jesus in Antioch and in many more than just one missionary journey. They witnessed many, and many were saved, and they planted many churches, him and Saul together, and then him and Mark also. Can I tell you that's the greatest blessing? Now listen to me. The greatest blessing that Barnabas did into anybody's life was share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, we need to get this understanding this morning that the greatest thing I can do for somebody is not just help them in the monetary sense, not just help them with kind words, but the greatest thing I can do is share Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you, I can give somebody a $100 bill or I can give somebody a $50 bill, whatever it may be, and they're going to spend that and it's going to be gone. And one day they'll even forget that I even helped. That's fine with me. But I'm going to tell you something. You can speak kind words and make a difference in somebody's life, and it also can open opportunity for you to share the most important thing, the most important blessing that you can give anybody is to tell them about Jesus. Because see, when we tell somebody about Jesus and they actually receive Jesus as their Lord and they actually become a disciple of Christ, you have given them a blessing that will last for eternity. It's not going to end at the end of this world, but the blessing that we give people when they come into the blessing of Jesus, when they come into that relationship with God, is something that will last forever. There's not a greater thing that I could give my children than the opportunity to receive Jesus. There's not a greater thing that I can give my grandchildren than the opportunity to receive Jesus. But can I tell you, the Bible says, how can they hear unless somebody's sent? Come on, we are sent. And I need to bless somebody today by telling them about Jesus. Jesus is what changes people's lives for eternity. And we are a blessing. Get that in your head. You are being a blessing to that person. Oh, they may not seem like it. I'm sure Nina and some of them on the New York found some that didn't think it was a blessing, but you were truly being a blessing to them. When you share Jesus, you're being a blessing. They may not understand it until later on in eternity how you were trying to bless them that day. But the Word of God blesses person. We need to understand, in our hand we hold blessing. Amen? We hold blessing in our hand. But it's my choice whether I want to bless somebody. Sometimes, I don't know about you, sometimes I'm in a bad mood. Any of y'all get in a bad mood? How many of your women in here get in a bad mood and or your husband gets in a bad, no, don't raise her hand. We get there, but you know, to be a blessing is a choice. Amen? It's a choice. I'll pray for you. To be a blessing is a choice, my friend. I'm not a rich man, by no means. But you know what? God has blessed our lives. And every now and then we're able to help somebody else out. And I look for the opportunity to be able to do that. I'm not as good as Pat, but I can do a lot of different things God's helped me to be able to do. I'm just scared of wiring stuff in manual labor and but I'm just saying we all have something to bless somebody with. Amen. I'm reminded, you know, back on the when John and Peter, they went to the temple, they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I give unto you." Come on, rise up and walk. Man, we can be a blessing, church. San Jacinto, well, let's be a blessing. Let's be a blessing to people outside the church we come across and it'll amaze you what that'll do in your life and their life also. You know, the Lord's been dealing with me on this message. He goes, listen, how many of you remember the prayer of Jabez? The prayer of Jabez was a good little book. It's a man's book. It was really short and didn't take long to read it. But, you know, it's all about being blessed. God bless me. God bless me. God bless me. You know, bless me, O Lord. Preachers many times expect to be blessed all the time. And I'm going to tell you, that can be a habit if you're not careful. Expecting everybody to bless you and you not bless them. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate all the blessings. But can I tell you, even preachers and all of us should be blessings to others. We should be blessings. I was caught mowing a person's yard one time and somebody says, "You shouldn't be doing that as the pastor." And I thought, well, this is my business. And God told me to go do it to be a blessing. Because sometimes you may not have a dime to give, but you've got time. I just, you know, how many times, and I close with this because I'm out of time. How many times do we catch ourselves praying, "God bless me. God bless my life." When perhaps we should switch that and start praying, God, give me opportunity to be a blessing. Give me opportunity to be a blessing to somebody. Oh, Lord, help me to see with a bountiful eye. Help me see with a bountiful eye that I may be a blessing to somebody today. It may just be a kind word spoken at the right moment. It may just be a word that needs to be said or something. Oh, I can fix that for you. But to be a blessing. Amen? Can I tell you, you must make the choice. That's just three things I preached about to be a blessing. And I pray that I get to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen? I love y'all. Y'all all love Jesus. I want somebody to tell about Jesus. Amen? We should all look for that opportunity. Stand with me this morning. To be a blessing. I must first become a giver. If I can't be a giver, I won't be a blessing. Amen? And then to be a blessing, I must watch what I say. And also to be a blessing, one must share Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. How many want to be a blessing this evening or this morning? Amen. May God give you somebody to be a blessing to. Amen? Lord, today we thank you, we praise you. Lord, it's not a question of whether or not we are blessed from you. Lord, we know your word speaks of that. But God, may we have the heart of yours to be a blessing to somebody else, Lord. And Lord, we know that you will bring blessing to us to flow through to be a blessing to other people. And God, I pray that you'd help each one of us to have a bountiful eye, God, that we can help, that we can bless, that we can, Lord, encourage somebody just as Barnabas, God, encouraged others by being a blessing into their life. Now, Lord, may you bless each person here. May you pour your spirit upon them. May you be with them throughout the week. May you, God, guide them in all their decisions. And may they honor you, God, with all they have. In Jesus' name, amen.